Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew with ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air once again with You Got This, the show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I actually have an interesting person next to me right now. I got Dane King, who just started King RV. He's been doing this RV thing, RV repair, for a long time, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to kind of have stay along the same theme that we had last week, where I did a bunch of work on my RV, but some of the stuff I didn't want to do, I had Dane do, which was great. Dane, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and about your new business?
Yeah, sure. Again, my name is Dane King. I started working on RVs about 15 years ago. Brought quite a different realm of background in with me, you know, from computers to welding, mechanics, and all that stuff.
Right.
And RVs pretty much fit the bill to encompass all my areas of so-called expertise, right? So, it's been a lot of fun. And
but you've been doing RV repair at DeMartini's, right? For
yes, sir.
How many years?
Well, like, I started about 15 years ago.
15 years working on RVs, so you got a little knowledge there.
Yeah. I took a break here and there. Rabies and Hills Flat.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And you're a local guy. How long have you been in Nevada County?
I've been here for 18 years now.
Okay. Yeah. Where'd you move from?
From Concord.
Oh, wow. Another Bay Area.
Down the Bay Area. Yes, sir.
I'm from San Francisco, so yeah.
All right.
I'm very familiar. I have good friends that lived in Vanville, so.
All right. Yeah, I actually lived in Frisco for about a year, year and a half.
Yeah. Very cool. So, I did a few things at my place. One of the things that I had him come over and do at on my RV, one thing that is kind of a DIY thing, but it's just messy and not fun, is repacking the bearings on your trailer. And also the nice thing about having somebody that actually knows what they're doing, they might see something that you wouldn't see because they do it every day. So they'll notice if like the bearing races are going or the brakes are going
exactly
bad, right?
Yeah.
You can pick stuff up a lot faster than I would. I wouldn't know a bad bearing race from a good, well, I guess I would. If it was completely deformed, it would be pretty obvious. But you can you'll notice minor stuff that lot of homeowners are
pulled out. You can see like rough ripples and stuff like that if it's been like too loose and beaten around in there, and that's something actually my dad taught me I was probably 10 years old. I've been wrenching with him.
How often should you be changing the or repacking the bearings on your trailer?
Well, I would do it at least every couple of years. One of the main things is if when you're towing, say you go out on a trip, first 100 miles you pull off to get fuel or let the kids, whatever, go to the restroom.
Right.
Go back and immediately feel the hubs.
Yeah.
On all the wheels.
Right.
And if you have one that feels hot.
Right.
Compared to the rest, obviously you know you have a problem at that point, and it's something you're going to want to address.
Yeah.
But,
And actually, I went a step further because being in the industry that I'm in, you get those non-contact thermometers.
Yeah.
$14 on Amazon.
Right.
Under $20, you can get one of those things, and you can literally just go, and I'll shoot the
my hands
the
hubs. My hands are free, though.
I'm always afraid I'm going to burn myself, though.
If it's that hot, then you got to know your problem. You know you have a problem, you should probably pull over and stop at that point.
It's
if it's
tool
that
hot that I can justify to buy. Right. Come on now.
Yeah.
I like my gadgets. I like my tools.
Right. You know, if you feel with the back of your fingers, you can get them away real quick.
That's true. It's true.
I used to work in a machine shop.
It
was early 20s down in the Bay Area. For Morgan's Machine and Marine. Anyway, but machinists there taught me. Use the back of your fingers.
Because you can feel the temperature faster, right?
No, because you can pull them away faster.
Oh,
Because, your fingers hinge away from.
Right. Yeah. Right. So definitely check in. I've heard, 1,000 miles or something like that, you should be repacking the bearings in your trailer.
I don't know the actual service intervals.
I guess it depends on the manufacturer and how old
you're. A lot of ones nowadays are so easy because there's a Zerk fitting. They'll have like the bearing buddy type thing where if you have a little grease gun or something, which are super cheap, like you're saying, go down to Rabies, whatever,
pick them up for $20 with a cartridge of grease.
Yeah. Right. And it's spring loaded, and if the spring is depressed into it, just pump it until it comes out.
That's a good DIY thing. You should, if you own an RV, you should have a grease gun.
Absolutely. That'd be
especially a trailer because
it's not so high on the list as some of the other items that you should probably have. Yeah. But no, yeah. a trailer, yes, absolutely.
Because I mean, I know like on our weight distribution hitch, I've got a couple Zerks on that.
Right.
I got a Zerk that, and then the bearings, and there are a few other little spots.
You get
and
on
if
you
got a fifth wheel, the same sort of thing.
Yeah, you get on your car as well, you know, chain pins and drive or U-joints on your drive shafts and all that stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Just, you know.
Absolutely.
Too much grease will usually not be a bad thing.
No,
right?
You usually got a rag handy. Just wipe off the excess that comes out.
No grease is a bad thing.
Right.
Not enough is rarely a problem.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It can be messy, but rarely a problem. Right. I did have those Zerks on one of my trailers, and it just spread all over the place, and I was afraid it was going to get on the brakes, and I kind of slowed down on that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically, you know, on those, it's going to direct it out, but, I mean, they will get inside there on, you know, the brake mechanisms inside, but they're getting on the brakes themselves.
It's almost non-existent.
Grease is so sticky. It's not really going
to... I guess I was just worried for no reason. Yeah. What are some other kind of DIY things that you can do on an RV that... So this is one cool thing, too. I just want to throw this out, because Dane was just telling me, he just started this business, 6 weeks ago? 2 months ago?
Not even that. No, I've actually went off on my own. I've got 3 full weeks in.
3 weeks. All right.
I'm on my fourth week.
So he's been getting a lot of calls from people, clients asking some questions, and he'll actually walk you through some of the easier stuff, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. So that I know we do the same thing because I'd rather, and I'm sure you feel the same way, I'd rather come out for the big problems and have you take care of the easy problems and use this as a resource, because it's really difficult to go out there and say, it's going to cost you $68 for me to flip a switch. You feel bad.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I want to save people money, you know, and I want to teach people to be self-sufficient and take care of a lot of stuff themselves. Right.
And if you own an RV, you should be a little self-sufficient, right?
Exactly. I would hope so.
A lot of problems
There's
with
a lot of people that aren't, but, you know, then again, you know, if somebody calls me and it's something, a problem that I recognize, you know, they tell me the make, model, what's going on. And I mean, honestly, I've been doing this for so long. Right. I could say, all right, go to here, look at this. And
what are some of I'm sure, when was the last call you had?
The last one was actually the customer was not getting any 110 power in their coach.
Okay.
They're plugged in. They could turn on the inverter and it was working, power and everything, until the batteries went dead.
Right.
And the only way they could charge the battery was to actually run the coach motor.
Right.
And they said all the breakers look good and this and that. And they said the one going to the inverter was tripped and they reset it.
Right.
Okay, well, a lot of people don't know that when the breakers trip, they actually only come down about halfway. Yeah. And you actually have to turn them all the way off and then back on.
Right.
So, honestly, he'd been struggling for weeks and called me, and it was a matter of
literally
him going
flipping
back
a switch
and doing it, pushing it all the way down and then resetting, and it started
working.
That's
true with all breakers, whether they're in a rig, in a coach, or a trailer, or even a home. They're there for a reason. They're there to make sure you don't get electrocuted or cause a fire if there's a short or a problem or something like that. But they will trip, and they don't. You have to literally pull them all the way to the off position to turn them on.
They seem like they set, but they...
Yeah, I always suggest there may be a good reason why that thing tripped, so try tripping it again, but keep an eye on it, because there may be a short, there may be an issue somewhere.
You know, in RVs, and, you know, it came down to the fact that he'd purchased a new heater that he plugged in, you know, and most inverters, you know, they're 2,000 watts.
Right.
You know,
he was running an electric heater on his inverter. Off the coach batteries?
Yeah, he'd plugged in one of the outlets that was powered by the inverter. So but he was charging the batteries at the same time.
Right.
So it wasn't enough to pop because his particular inverter had 2 15-amp breakers coming off of it.
He shouldn't have been using that heater on the inverter, period, because you only get 2 to 3,000 watts, and those things can be more than that, especially when they first turn on.
Yes.
So that was his bet, because you should be going to the outlet that's not hooked up to the inverter. If you own an RV, you'll know what we're talking about. If you don't own an RV, don't worry about it, because we can talk about inverters and technical things, but An inverter basically allows you to run 110 from a 12-volt battery. But, yeah, we won't get into those details. So that's a good one. It was literally flipping a switch, and you, and you saved him a service call.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because where his particular location, it would have been $80 just for me to show up.
And right.
Have, yeah, so
right.
Saving him money, it makes him happy. And you know what? The next time he has a problem and it's something that I can't resolve over the phone, first of all, he's calling me again. Right. Second of all, I'm going to be the one that's going to go out.
You build
and fix
trust.
Them,
so. You build a relationship.
Absolutely.
And that's all about relationships. Right. That's what we're all in this business for, right? We're service guys, and you build relationships with people. And hopefully they'll call you when there's a big problem.
Yep.
And something they don't want to deal with. Because there's a, like me, like I can repack the bearings on my trailer. I've done it before. I just don't like it.
Right. Yeah.
And I've reached a point in my life where I used to joke around with this because my father was, he did everything. He didn't, like, I come from kind of poor background, and my father's a contractor, and we didn't hire anybody for anything.
Nothing.
And I've gotten to the point in my life, you know, it's like, I make enough money now, I like to be able to write a check. I really like being able to just say, yeah, just take care of that for me. It's so nice. But if you can't, you can solve the problem yourself.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty much in the same boat. You know, things that are within my wheelhouse, I'm going to go ahead and tackle it. You do enough wheel bearings, you learn how to do it without making such a mess. Latex gloves are key for one, but
and a lot of rags.
Yeah. You know, other than that, I mean, something that's going to take me longer to learn how to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I'll pay somebody because it's more cost effective.
What are some of the DIY things? Because I know you got a list over there.
I kind of put together a list of things that I've seen over the years that are very important for customers that own RVs, trailers, or motorhomes to know. Some of the most important things that you're going to want to take care of diligently. The first one is your batteries.
Yeah.
And I say batteries, batteries, batteries. That is, most of the trailers and RVs out there are running lead acid batteries, which is my preferred, you know, cost effective wise. Right.
Water based. Yeah.
If you are using your coach or if it's even just sitting plugged in, you have to check the water.
Right.
Once a month, at the minimum once every 2 months.
Yeah.
Because even sitting there not using it, you're going to have parasitic draws.
Right.
And that battery cycling with the battery chargers that are installed on those things, which are very good nowadays, you know, the four-stage charging that they have, they're still going to cook off that water.
Right. You know? And what do you do if you're low on water?
Yeah. Open the caps, and obviously, and you're checking it at that point, and you fill it back up with, go down and get some distilled water.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Don't put tap water in there, because you'll destroy your battery.
Definitely not well water.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Well water. Right. You want distilled,
way too many minerals,
pure water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not spring water.
Right.
Not.
And you don't fill them to the top. You know, you look inside the battery, there's a plastic sleeve that goes down maybe an inch, and is filled to the bottom of that plastic sleeve, and you're good to go.
Yeah. And what are some other things you can look at?
Oh, one of the other major things is exercising your coach.
Yeah.
You know, that lot rot is what we used to call it there.
Yeah.
And, you know, coaches sit out there for 5-6 months, sometimes longer,
years. Yeah.
Not being used, just even on the sales lot.
Right.
And they come in perfectly fine, nothing wrong with them. Sitting there, you go in and this isn't working, that isn't working. It ends up being hundreds to thousands of dollars of repairs just for not using the things. And, I mean, that's a real important thing.
Like the appliances inside the unit?
Yes.
Water system?
The appliances, fire up. If you have a generator,
fire that up.
Yeah. Fire the generator.
Yeah, you don't want to let a generator sit. Like, no. Our standby generators that we put in, they have a cycle. They actually automatically come on once a month.
And it's called an exercise
cycle. They exercise it. And if you leave your generator sitting, not being used,
I went up to my dad's. I did a service on his Generac standby unit that's on his house. And it had been starting, he says, and this and that. And, it's supposed to. It has this exercise. So I turned that back on and set it. It comes on every 2 weeks on a Saturday and runs for 13 minutes, I believe.
Yeah.
And then shuts back off, you know, goes through all its paces.
Right. So do that in your coach, because, you can.
Right. Start the engine.
Yeah.
Go through, fire everything up, fire the furnace, fire the ACs.
Yep.
Turn on the refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Start the motor. Drive it. even if it's a few feet.
Yeah.
And then back it up. You know, for one thing, I mean, sitting for months or a year on end on the same spot on the tire.
On the tire, yeah, you can destroy it, right?
Well, yeah, you end up with a flat spot on the tire. But, yeah,
especially
just,
with trailer tires.
Just move it. It just gets the lubrication flowing. Gets everything working. You know, turn the wheel
back and forth.
That's
a good thing. So, yeah, you'll see rigs that they put the covers on it and they don't even touch them for 6 or 7 months.
Right, and then they go back and say, well, everything was working before. Now, because it's been sitting. Right,
it's
you
been
got
sitting.
Electrolysis.
So, yeah.
And,
yeah. What are some other things?
One of the other things I see a lot of on customers is not properly taking care of their black tank.
Yeah, I've seen that too. We've been called out for some of these.
Yeah, you know, it's like a lot of people, they'll go and they'll dump the tanks and then take off and then enjoy a weekend or a week in it. And things start going bad. It's a lot of people don't realize that after you dump it, you always want to put a couple of gallons of water back into the black tank.
Yeah.
You want it to splash down, not plop and sit there and dry.
Right.
Right. One of the other important things is to use...
We're talking solids, people.
Yeah.
I'm going to dovetail with this because I've had a... Being in the industry that I'm in, I've been plumbing forever, but I got called out one time for somebody that was renting out their travel trailer as a living unit on the side of their house. And they had this great idea of just leaving the black water valve open. And the toilet got clogged. So what happened? And so I'm like, I can't do anything for you. You literally got to get a pumper truck out here, and it's going to cost you a lot of money to clear this thing out. Because what happens is when you leave the valve open, what happens in a black water tank is it holds... It holds the solids and the liquids, but when you leave the valve open, the solids sit there and the liquid goes out. So what you're left behind with is a bunch of solids, and this thing was literally packed up into the toilet.
Yeah.
Nasty. Right. Nasty. Well, how, I mean, could you even, what do you, I mean, he shook his head when I said a pumper. That was about the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. At that point, honestly, the tank will probably have to be removed. And just replace. That would be most cost-effective way.
Wow.
I actually had one recently prior to leaving the dealership there that I guess their blade valve had been leaking. So everything had packed. It was about a four-foot-long tube getting to the blade valve from the black tank on that three-inch pipe.
Right.
Well, you pull the valve, nothing happened, and everything was blocked up.
Right.
Jamming a hose in there, like... Blasting,
to try to break it up.
Right,
it up
with like pretty much like a snake on the end of it from the end coming in. And it was coming out like shale.
Yeah.
You know, just flaking off. Right. And it was like, and it was seriously like shale, like rock.
Right.
Like, and, you know, at that point, it's not salvageable.
So, people out there, if you have an RV, leave the black... tank closed. You can leave the gray open while you're at a park, but leave that black water closed and wait till you get half, three quarter, or full, and then dump it.
And after you dump,
put some water, flush it a couple times.
Put a couple gallons of water in there.
Yeah.
Again, you want it to splash down.
Yeah. And I'm a proponent of using enzymes in my black tank.
Yeah, that always helps.
I don't use the formaldehide stuff because I just don't like. Dumping into the sewer, but
and that'll disturb
stuff.
You know, if you're going in a septic, that'll disturb the ecosystem in the septic.
You'll destroy your if you dump it at your house, it'll destroy the whole septic tank if you use that stuff. But if you can use like a Red X or a BioClean, or I use Total C, that's something that we sell.
There's a bunch of products
out there that work really well.
Formaldehyde free is the main thing that you're looking for.
And it digests, so if it's sitting like right now, my rig's been sitting for I don't know, maybe a month. So stuff's pretty well digested in there by now.
Yeah.
So if you seed it with this stuff.
And don't use household toilet paper. The stuff for the RVs, yes, it may be thinner, but it is designed to dissolve and break down way faster than your...
I've seen some YouTube about Scott's brand, and that tends to break up pretty good.
Yeah.
I use regular, but then I can fix it.
Right.
I've got a jetter. I can actually get in there with my high-pressure water and jet the thing out. If you do use household toilet paper,
you do the one.
Use a lot of water.
Yeah.
Use a lot of water.
Maybe.
And if you've got
one or two squares at a time, that little trick.
Well, if you got one of those sprayers, the tank sprayers,
Flush
it out every couple times. You don't have to do it every time, but couple times.
And I actually use that to put some water back in the tank. Yeah. I'll hook that up and let it run for a few seconds. And
use a clear elbow. I know it's nasty to see this stuff coming out, but when you're flushing it, you know you've gotten all the solids out.
Yeah, you know when you're done.
You know when you're done. Otherwise, you want to see clear water coming out of it. And if you're using opaque fittings, you can't see it.
A black tank.
This is a great topic.
Yeah, right?
Well, yeah, we talk about solids here a lot. So, yeah. Rosalie's going to be rolling right now. But, yeah, so there's the black water tank. So what else you got? We got time for one more.
Oh, just one? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's only a 24-minute show. They don't give me an hour.
All right, so I can't get into duct tape and Baylor-Meyer. Let's see. Roof care. That's very important on these things, you know.
Yeah, because he's got one right now where the rig is worth like $5,000 or $6,000 and they had a roof leak and it may have done
more
maybe $10,000 worth of damage to the rig because there's wood and stuff back there that gets rotted and gets destroyed. So you want it.
Everything.
What do you do for roof care?
Roof care, main thing is get up there.
Yeah, take a look at it.
You know, and
a couple times a year, don't wait.
Yeah, wash it. Go around and look at the seals. If you see sealant that's starting to crack or lift or areas where water can potentially get in, it's something that you're going to want to get addressed. You know, if everything looks good when you wash it, I mean, there's several products out there that they're designed for RV roofs, particularly
for washing them. Yeah.
Right. The rubber and the TPO material membrane roofs. Getting a good UV protectant.
Yeah.
On there after washing.
That's
and you use that on the plastics and everything else up there as well. It just,
especially up here because we have really harsh
sun.
Well,
the sun is.
And the ozone's bad up here. Well,
the sun is harsh. Anywhere. Sun destroys anything. I mean, you throw a blue tarp over it, how long is it going to last before the thing is just ripping apart? You know, without that, your coach is taking all of that.
Right.
You know, and that's the UV.
And if you
risk.
Do see some gaps, what do you do?
Well, you can either go down to your local supply store and get some good self-leveling sealant. Of course, you want to clean and prep prior to putting anything like that on.
You don't want to use silicone. You don't want to use...
No silicone on a roof.
Harvey's Black
Guitar. No, please don't.
You really want to get a product that's designed for that rubber roof. There's only a couple manufacturers of that lap seal stuff, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there's several out there, you know, and some are better than the other.
Right.
Some tout a 30-year warranty. Ones tout...
And it's usually, it comes in a caulking tube, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to use.
Standard
and just go up there
gear.
And, I don't know, I think it's like $12 a tube or something like that, and go up there and squirt it on there. It's not hard. And it will literally, like in its description, it's self-leveling. It'll fill its own
Even if you put it down and it looks like junk, you know, as long as
it's
warm enough out there, it's going to settle down and look like a professional did it. The main thing is prep prior to that. You want to use some type of a light solver or something.
Prep. When you're painting or anything like that, prep is key, guys.
If it's dirty or slightly oily, it'll go down and look good, but it's not going to adhere to the surface and end up leaking underneath it anyway. So,
And I've seen some nice trailers with some really expensive damage from that. I know a friend of mine, his dad had a really nice Arctic Fox trailer, and it got a leak and it destroyed it. Wasn't even worth fixing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, take care of it. And it would have literally taken them, all told, maybe 5 hours over the 5 years that they owned it.
Right.
Just to walk up on the roof twice a year, check it, and put some of this sealer down, this caulking down, and it would have saved them from having to buy another trailer.
Right. And, you know, that was probably also somebody that had left it in the yard for extended period of time that wasn't exercising. I mean, that's one of the other things is, you know, if you're going into your coach every month or two and you're looking around, you notice the things a lot earlier than letting it sit for 8 to 10 months and then going in, my gosh, what's going on? So
That's excellent information. Dane, how can people reach you?
Well, I've got a couple ways. You can call me on my cell phone, the business phone.
Yeah.
It's
530-913-4085. Do you want to repeat that?
Yeah, it's 913-4085. I do have a Facebook page up.
And that's actually how I found him, was Facebook peeps. Yeah. Was that your wife or girlfriend that?
Yeah, it was my wife. Had
she's yeah. awesome. She's on it.
Yeah, she's.
You got.
She's
her.
On the kind of peeps. Yeah, she runs.
She's
a little,
good advertiser.
Little business for herself too. Yeah. Doing house cleaning, but. Yeah, you get on Facebook and it's /KingRVService.
Or
you
like his page, by the way. Go in there and like his page.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I do have a website coming up and running, and that website's going to be on the wrap that Dominic's doing for me.
So if you guys need any RV repair, he actually comes to your house too, which is nice. You don't have to drive your rig there, especially if you got a trailer, which is a pain.
There are so many people in this area that need that, you know, whether they're living in their trailer or they're living off grid.
Like, right. Or they just don't, like me, I didn't want to hook it up and have to, it's a pain in the butt.
It is. That and you schedule an appointment, and it's two months from now, and you drop it off, and it's 2 weeks before they get
to
it.
Months.
And
it, I've had warranty work.
They cost way more than I do. Anyway, I'm going to come out and take care of you.
Yeah.
You got the best of the best coming out.
You got RV. He's been doing this a long time.
Yep.
Anyway, this has been You Got This once again, and you can listen to our shows on our website, which is for ABT, is easyasabt.com, easyasabt.com, or you can find the show on yougotthis.live, yougotthis.live. You can find our Facebook page for both of those. You can reach us at ABT at 530-272-9120, 272-9120, or our Facebook page. Anyway, thanks for listening, and thanks, Dane, for coming, and
thank
we'll catch you
Andrew,
next week.
For having me.
Awesome. All right. Bye bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now get that project started. You Got This. We'll be back next Friday at 2 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.